Ladies and gentlemen, the story you're about to see is true. The names have been changed to protect the innocent.
Online, worldofwrestling.com presents your number one action and comedy radio show based around the world of professional wrestling. OWW Radio.
The King of Kings goes back on his throne. The champ is here. The Beast. The Man.
You gotta beat the Man.
Whoa. It looks like there's a new sheriff in town.
And man, is it about time.
Hey, this is not a mirage. This is real. This is here. This is now. This is the second coming.
Now your host, Alan. What's his name? Wojcicki? Wojcicki?
Your house started to shake, the heavens opened up, and God himself spoke to you and said this.
Wojcicki, is it? It's Wojcik. Alan Wojcik. Do I really need to write this out for you? God!
Now, your host, Alan Wojcik.
Down in Tribeca, right next to the Narrow, but I'll be hood forever. I'm the new Sinatra, and since I made it here, I can make it anywhere. Yeah, they love me everywhere. I used to cop in Harlem, all of my Janine and Connells right there up on Broadway. Pulled me back to that McDonald's, took it to my sad spot, 560 State Street. Kept me in the kitchen like a Simmons whipping pastry.
In case that song didn't give you an idea of, yeah, this is an Empire State of Mind show tonight. Welcome to Online World of Wrestling Radio. I am Alan Wojcik, 888-357-9876. Option 1 is the way to join us here. Or if you're a Skype person, you can join us by getting our super tech producer person. His name is Sir Rockin. If you're a part of the Wild Talk Radio Network chat room, you saw a name pop up, name of Phil Strum. He will be joining us tonight here as one of our two contributors slash guests. He is a writer for the Poughkeepsie Journal and also has a blog that we will pub like crazy. He'll be on in the first hour to talk World Wrestling Entertainment, and boy, was there a lot between SmackDown and Raw. And then his partner on that blog, name of Kevin Scott, will be joining us in hour number 2. He is Phil's TNA, ROH, Pro Wrestling Guerrilla, Shimmer, and any other initials that I couldn't think of at the moment. If you're in the chat room, welcome. We appreciate you being here. Appreciate all of you listening in last week to a marathon show that was only supposed to be an hour and a half and turned into, I think it ended last night. Didn't do something last week, and I want to apologize for it, which was memorialize two people who passed away on last Sunday, the night of the Over the Limit pay-per-view. Mrs. Jill Jarrett, if that name doesn't mean anything to you, then what are you doing listening to my show? She was the wife of TNA co-founder Jeff Jarrett, who passed away 2 years ago, or sorry, 2007, passed away due to a long, horrible battle with cancer, but have met her a couple times. She lived in Nashville, was one of the sweetest people you'd ever want to meet, pushed Jeff like crazy. When they shut them down almost after Hell South left, she was one of the people that was at the quote-unquote asylum in Nashville at the Tennessee State Fairgrounds. That was there painting every day, busting her butt, even though she didn't, you know, feel up to it. So our hearts go out to them. And, of course, I wouldn't be remiss if I didn't mention one of my all-time favorites, the late, great Owen Hart, who passed away due to one of the most horrific accidents in wrestling history. And he is actually, last week, Spug, Mace, and Randy McWilliams joined me in on it, and some of the chat folks did. We did a, if you could take a past manager and blend them with a current WWE TNA star. Tonight's question is involving the King of Hearts, the Nugget, D.O. and 316er. If you could take Owen Hart circa 1997, 98, 99 and match him up against any current WWE or TNA star, who would it be and why? Now, before you start messaging me, I want to eliminate a couple people from this. Let's eliminate his brother Brett because obviously we already wrestled. And some of the current people, such as The Undertaker, or anyone that's on the current roster now that could have wrestled Owen back in 97, 98, 99. Now, you can bring in some of the guys that work for ECW, the wrestling now, such as Rob Van Dam, such as Tommy Dreamer, anyone along those lines. So don't be afraid to join us with that. So Rock and just put it up there. I'm going to put a couple names out there, the people that messaged me on my phone earlier when I presented this idea to people. My friend Nicole, who lives in Tennessee, mentioned two superstars immediately off the bat. She mentioned the current WWE champion, John Cena, and she also wanted to see Randy Orton. Now, there are some people that are already starting to message us in there. You feel free to do that, or you can jump on the phone lines with us during the periodically during the show. As I said, Phil Strom is in the chat room if you want to talk with him. I'm not sure if Kevin's going to join us in the chat room yet or not, but he will be there. That's an interesting one. Spug, who will be joining us from the WTR later, wants to get the first one in, so we'll let him have a first shot at it. He wants current ROH wrestling trainer extraordinaire Delirious to take on Owen Hart. Don't be afraid to join us on the line if you want to. We will be going over some injuries that have happened that involve the upcoming Fatal 4-Way pay-per-view. We also want to mention, one of my favorite actors of the 60s, 70s, 80s, and even the 90s, the original Easy Rider, Dennis Hopper, succumbed to prostate cancer, so we wish his family the best. And if you're an 80s kid, Gary Coleman was the thing. And one of the coolest t-shirts I've ever seen in person was at a TNA event afterward. I believe it was Doug Basham had on a shirt that said, "I'm what Willis was talking about." Never got to find out where the hell he bought that shirt, but anybody that's ever found it, definitely grab it. Gary Coleman gone at 42, and game show entrepreneur and TV personality Art Linklater also passed away. Ask your folks about him. He was a pretty cool guy back in the day. And let's jump right into this. Before we go to the break, we're going to mention a couple things, and we'll get some fan input on this. This coming Monday night is going to be Cyber Monday, basically. Instead of having to wait for the WWE's traditional Cyber Sunday, or whatever it's been called over the years, guest host Ashton Kutcher, with the help of Bret Hart and Vince McMahon out of the clear blue, have set up a viewer's choice night. Go to WWE.com and you can vote for the matches that will be seen in a 3-hour. Didn't we just do a 3-hour Monday Night Raw? Just seems like last week we did one. I know we did a commercial-free one with Buzz Aldrin. This week, it's going to be interesting with Cerrito Copley, Bradley Cooper, and Quentin Rampage Jackson, who I'm interested to see, guys, who's going to be the superstar that comes up for a promo and tears him up for losing. I believe he lost to Rashad Jackson is the gentleman's name. I'm not an MMA fan, so if I'm wrong, I apologize. You can skewer me all you want. So that'll be interesting to see. One of the more interesting things to come out also of Monday Night Raw, it was Rashad Evans. I'm sorry. Thank you, Phil. He said Phil Strom will be joining us. He has a blog through the Poughkeepsie Journal website. He does cover TNA. He does cover WWE. He has interviewed some of the big names. We're going to address injuries. We're going to address Jim Ross. Before we go to break, we're going to do something real fast on Jim Ross. For everyone that was sitting there going, "He's coming to TNA. Yeah, this time he's coming. He's going to clean house." He's not cleaning anything. Apparently, WWE Hall of Famer Jim Ross has finalized a new deal and essentially two new job descriptions with WWE. that he will stay with the company for the next few years. Now, apparently, Mr. Ross has accepted a position within talent relations as a consultant, which he is saying will now require weekly travel. Now, he frequented FCW here in Tampa while he was still working for the company, and he's going to keep an eye on development of the upcoming superstars and divas, and he'll also be apparently free to do some MMA, football, or anything he'd like except for wrestling. He's quoted as saying, "All is good in our world as interesting days lie ahead." He also wanted to add, "Thanks for your support. We're grateful and very blessed for this situation." He's also apparently going to work behind the scenes at pay-per-views. So I don't know if he's going to run the gorilla position or anything like that. I'm happy for Jim. I wish him nothing but the best. He's one of the best in the business, and I'm really wishing that Johnny Laryngitis would lose it forever and just go away. I mean, the guy signed the wrong one-legged man back in the day. Don't forget the poll question. I feel like Dan Patrick. If you could give us a star, current WWE, TNA, ROH, even Pro Wrestling Guerrilla, we'll take some of the indies, the named indies like FIP, Pro Wrestling Guerrilla, ROH, IAW in Ohio, Iowa, some of the big names, Combat Zone, whoever you would want to see wrestle, the legendary Owen Hart. Everyone that's mentioned some in the chat room, we will mention you in a moment. We're going to take our break for a moment so we can get Phil Strum on the line. If you want to join Phil, if you got questions about WWE, 888-357-9876 is the way to call. Pug's got a question. Since it is June 1st and summer is here, what's the best summer romance song? He thinks it's Bob Seger Night Moves? Okay. That's another great, I said it's a New York State of Mind show tonight, Empire State ruling the nation here. Billy Joel's going to play us out. We'll be back on All My World of Wrestling Radio.
Website on the internet today brings you everything from everywhere. The WWE, TNA, Ring of Honor, the Indies, all this and more can be found on one site. The Hero Set, and everything wrestling. Head on over to www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. News, views, and information from the world of professional wrestling is right at your fingertips, only a month's look away, with every single page chock full of information and news on your favorite wrestling stars, such as
Chris Jericho,
Derek Bischoff,
Sid Vicious,
Mick Foley,
plus the most definitive source for all the best audio and video the internet has to offer. As well, news articles and blogs from some of the best-known internet wrestling stars today, and the most in-depth and detailed profiles and galleries of the biggest and brightest stars of today.
Rob Van Dam.
Mr. Kennedy!
Christy Hayes, Mark Sterry.
Janice Michelle.
Christy Hemming.
Jay Lethal.
Yesterday. Brett the Hitman Hart.
The Sergeant Slaughter.
Ted DiBiase, the Million Dollar Man.
Paul Hogan, the greatest of all time.
Jimmy Vance, the Boogie Woogerman.
And tomorrow.
Peter Wilson.
Natty Neidhart.
Harry Smith.
Jack Evans.
Get into the world of wrestling. Online. It's the site for pros you. Online World of Wrestling. www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. Check it out today.
Don't worry about changing that dial, because you're already tuned in to the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Come on, feel that your heart.
Do you have a certain passion? Maybe you're a geek, a wrestling fan, a sex enthusiast, or you just need something to do for the evening. Then come check out the Wild Talk Radio Network, providing you with the latest in online entertainment. Whether it's getting in the ring with Wrestle Talk Radio, or getting a little R-rated with CB Radio, or anything goes. Or whether you just want to play a game of Dungeons & Dragons with the geeks over to Talky Talk Live. All you gotta do is head on over to www.wildtalkradio.com and check out all of our daily programming. Wild Talk Radio Network. Come and get wild with us. Run a webcast or have a podcast, audio blog, etc., and you need the occasional liner, sweeper, bumper, or intro? Check out VOLiners.com.
VOLiners.com is a free service bringing the internet broadcasting community together. Membership is free and you can log in anytime.
Simply post your script request and let another community member take it from there. It's that easy. Then come back and check your post and download the completed audio.
It's also a great site to add to your portfolio. Gain practical experience by helping your fellow members out and recording their requests.
Remember, it's 100% free to join and use.
VOLiners.com. Voiceovers, liners, sweepers, and bumpers for your broadcast. Join today.
This is Mace telling you to tune in to Anything Goes with Cindy Sin. It can go from anywhere from 10:30 to 12:30 Eastern, Thursday nights, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. And I tell you what, she gets us really dirty stuff on that show.
Ad Rock, MTA, joining us here on OWW Radio. Those guys are like the biggest peace lovers in the world. If you ever get bored, just Google MTA, Ad Rock, and Mike D, and you'll see they're like the biggest into Buddhism and major basketball players. You'll find them down on like the West 4th Street court getting their butt kicked by a band that they helped found, Luscious Jackson. Online World of Wrestling Radio is live on the air once again. I'm Alan Wojcik. And the way to join us always, 888-357-9876, or you can get involved in our chat room, which is set up through wildtalkradio.com/chat.php. And you can interact with everyone that's on the show, including our guest at this time, who joins us from the Poughkeepsie Journal. And he's had some pretty big interviews over his career, including TNA founder Jeff Jarrett and some of the people we'll talk about here tonight. Welcome to the show, Phil Strum. Mention your wonderful blog for everybody and how you can find it.
How's it going, Alan? You can find it on PoughkeepsieJournal.com/blogs, or you can get it by going to pojoslam.blogspot.com. How you doing tonight?
I'm doing good. Apparently, there's someone that's not doing too good. If you watched Friday Night SmackDown this week, guys, there's a couple people not doing too good. First off, we'll talk about the one that's a storyline. Namely, Matt Hardy was suspended by Vince McMahon via another letter from Drew McIntyre for apparently interfering in last Sunday's Over the Limit pay-per-view. We also saw probably one of the weirder injuries that wasn't reported right away, Phil. You're one of the blogs that released it out there, and it concerns the Dead Man. I'm going to read the story real quick. Let me read the story real quick so everybody understands what we're talking about, and then Phil will give his feelings on the whole issue. This got leaked by, I believe it was UN Wrestling Observer, that...
Yeah, it was not there first.
Yeah. Well, I'll say that you leaked it. Fine. Phil Strom broke the story. Dum, dum, dum. That The Undertaker on Friday Night SmackDown suffered a broken orbital bone and nose thanks to Rey Mysterio. In addition, he apparently also suffered a concussion. Now, you watched the match. I watched the match. They're claiming that this happened during the seated senton bomb that Mysterio hit during the match. And if you go to a few of the websites right now that are leaking spoilers about the event, we're not gonna, because we want everybody to watch Friday Night SmackDown. Apparently, Taker, as of this moment, is 50-50, and they may be calling Rey Mysterio back. When you watch this thing, Phil, did you honestly think, and before you heard this report, that Taker was any kind of damaged? And now that you hear it, is this is this Rey at fault? Taker at fault? Both of them at fault? I want everybody's opinion on this. We'll have a few. There's a few people that are a part of the show that are trained wrestlers who will join us, and they may give their opinions. But as a journalist, what's your opinion on this whole situation, and who would you put as a replacement for Taker?
Well, wrestling happens. When I saw at the end of the match, their match at the Royal Rumble, the same thing happened, where Taker busted up his nose, and I guess that's where he broke his nose on the seat of senton too. I just thought nothing of it. I thought, oh, you know, he smashed up his nose again or whatever. But I guess it was a lot worse than anybody thought. And he had been called back early to come back because of everybody else who left. And first match back, and there you go. So it looks like, and I was thinking this too, I mean, really the only guys on the roster that they could really plug in on the SmackDown side into that match would be Mysterio, Kane, or, you know, maybe stretching it even MVP if they wanted to give him a little bit of a push. But Mysterio actually was about to be taking some time off himself, but I don't think that's happening now that they have Undertaker off the roster now too. I mean, this is all sorts of change in movement in terms of injuries and retirement and guys taking a month or two off, and a lot of change going on in WWE right now.
Now, we've heard some many different stories. If you want to delve in this, I don't know how much you know about it, but apparently Rey hasn't been the most, I guess the George Carlin phrase is, happiest camper lately. I think something had to do, I don't know if you can confirm this, that he was going to be a part of a AAA show in Mexico and the Fed pulled him off, and that kind of started his pouting.
I don't know if he probably wasn't too happy about it. I think they were going to do some kind of a tribute to him down there. But you got to remember now, WWE is in the Mexican market now, so essentially they're competing with all the promotions down there. They're actually doing really, really well down there. It's the funny thing about WWE is whenever they take a slip domestically, you know, there's always these new markets that are starting, like, all the time, and they do outstanding right off the bat in them. But supposedly, you know, in last week's Wrestling Observer newsletter, it was reported that things had smoothed over with Mysterio, and he's not going anywhere for the foreseeable future, and apparently his knees are feeling better now, too, so he was really just going to take the time off just because he wanted to, because he hasn't in a while. But, I think it sounds like everything is okay with him now, and he wanted to take a month off, but apparently it's going to have to wait a little while.
Sir Rockin has given us some info on this piece. The Rey Mysterio received an offer from AAA to run a Rey Mysterio Jr. Cup and have him award the trophy to the winner of the tournament. He asked WWE for permission, but was refused as they do not want him appearing on a AAA show. He apparently was inducted to their Hall of Fame a while back, and WWE gave him permission to attend that, but said he couldn't be shown on TV, and he's been unhappy recently due to differing perceptions of his financial value to the company. And this isn't news to Rey. This happened to him back in the WCW days, when the geniuses that they are said, you know, that mask, yeah, that sucks. We're going to have you take it off. And then millions of revenue dollars went out and went right into WWE's pocket.
Did they even sell the masks when he was back in WCW? Because I don't remember seeing any. I remember other, you know, people buy luchador masks all the time and they show up in the crowd with them. But I don't remember seeing that many Rey Mysterio masks in WCW. WWE's done a good job of of promoting him. I mean, you go to shows now, and pretty much every second or third kid has a Rey Mysterio mask on. I mean, he's definitely one of the bigger merchandise movers in the company, along with John Cena and before he left, Jeff Hardy. But he's pretty valuable. I just don't know how much they see him as a long-term main event talent, but he's definitely a guy that can constantly plug in to just about any program, and he would have a good to outstanding match with just about anybody on the roster. So I think they know his value. I think they know that it's important to lock him up for as long as they can. And it sounds like whatever the problems were, that they're probably smoothed over now. You know, it wouldn't shock me tremendously to see him do a couple of shots in Mexico, you know, as he gets a little older, and he wants to go back and give back to his heritage and stuff like that, so.
And this is Phil Strom of the Poughkeepsie Journal joining us. He's got a real cool blog online if you want to Google his name. You mentioned John Cena earlier. If you watched Monday Night Raw last night, fans, you got to see John Cena do something that you don't rarely see him do. He let somebody else win in the main event. He tag teamed. He was originally supposed to team with Randy, my arm, my shoulder, my elbow. I'm not sure what's hurt, but let's get him the Fatal 4-Way. I'm trying to get that on a pillow or a t-shirt. They took on the other members of the Fatal 4-Way match, Sheamus and Edge. Well, apparently they set it up way, way earlier in the show that Edge and Evan Bourne, Matt Sydal, had an altercation. And Evan Bourne won the match with that awesome finishing move that I hold my breath every time him or Billy Kidman back in the day hit it. Cena is a Twitter person, unlike me, but Phil is. And he had this to say about Evan Bourne. C Nation, Evan is for real. I have always felt he has been overlooked, and it was a privilege to be his teammate. Do you think this is a one-time deal with Evan, or could we possibly see him and Ron Killings go after with the U.S. title, or do you think this was just, let's plug him in and we'll move on? Or could, honestly, I'm hoping this is a move that gets Evan finally some TV time.
Yeah, I'll say what you will about WWE, but they hear their crowds when it comes to certain talents. And Evan Bourne is one of those guys since the first day he walked into the company, you know, in FCW and then in ECW. And, you know, they hear the reactions to him, and the crowd likes him. And, you know, for goodness sake, they have so many guys out right now, under Triple H, you know, Shawn Michaels is out right now, Batista's not in the company right now. So, you know, you got to give some fresh faces a good start, and you know, Evan Bourne's a guy I saw back, gosh, I'm looking back like 6 or 7 years ago at the Rexplex in Elizabeth, New Jersey, on the freak show of a Ring of Honor show, and he fought Delirious, and like, I would say half the crowd didn't even know who he was. But, you know, those two obviously had a great rivalry over the Indies, because they were both, I think, from the same area. And, you know, why not give him a shot? I mean, he works well with just about anybody he gets in the ring with, like Rey Mysterio, and, he had a good match last night, and he had a good segment to open the show, I thought, with Edge, too. I thought that was a very interesting way to start the show, and it really put Evan Bourne on a new level, working with guys that he's never really been seen with before.
888-357-9877, option one. Yes, they say the number way too fast, just the New Yorker in me. We do have someone on the line that I believe wants to talk to Phil. Hello, caller, your name and where are you calling from?
Hey, it's Eric from New York.
Hey, what's going on?
What's up? Hey, great show. First time listener.
Thank you. You got a question for Phil?
I do. You know, I know this talking about Rey Mysterio here, you know, and I know that the kids absolutely love him, but I just have no use for the guy anymore. I mean, I think he's run his course, and I just think that, you know, like Vince has been trying to do here, you know, trying to mix in some new guys here, but I just don't think he should be the guy that's put into this match. I mean, is there, what's your opinion? Who do you think should be hitting that fourth spot at the pay-per-view?
So you're saying you don't think it should be Evan Bourne?
He doesn't think it should be Rey. I think the caller said he doesn't want Rey Mysterio in the slot. Is that right?
That is correct, yes.
Okay. Phil mentioned a couple people that I think they're just sticking in because it's a gunshot wound and let's stick a Band-Aid on it real fast. I mean, they've got the pay-per-view is the 20th, and they got a TV tonight, and I think two more to get to that pay-per-view. Who else besides the people you mentioned, Phil, would you stick in there? Do you think there's enough time to weave a quick two-night or one-night, you know, fight-it-out four-way thing to get somebody there?
I don't really think they need to do that. I think it's just, you know, that's almost the problem. I wrote this on my blog last night. It's almost the problem with having a fatal four-way pay-per-view is that you need so many people healthy for the main event. Like, you need eight guys to make it through the 2 or 3 week build to a pay-per-view, and already we've got two that look like they're not going to make it, with Randy Orton, you know, maybe showing up at Fatal 4-Way, maybe not, and Undertaker clearly is not at this point. That's a massive injury that he suffered. Like I said before, I think Mysterio, you know, he's a proven hand. MVP, I mean, every time you think he's going to get it, he doesn't get it, and he's really, you know, kind of worked hard to where he's gotten to. I don't see why not put him in there. I think you need another babyface in there, so I would think that MVP, Kane, and Rey Mysterio would really be the only people that fit the description on SmackDown, unless you put Kofi Kingston in there, but they're probably going to want his belt, I would think, on that show somewhere too, so that would be why he wouldn't be in there, although he'd be, you know, he'd be pretty good in the match too. I mean, he did obviously had a good Money in the Bank ladder match at WrestleMania, so, you know, he'd seem to fit into a multiple-person match pretty well and find a way to get all of his spots in there. I don't have a problem with Ray being in it. It doesn't sound like, it sounds like maybe they're leaning more towards Kane right now, but I don't really think it's going to change the match one way or the other. You know, you got the guys who are in the match, and I don't think Kane or whoever it is being in there is going to change a heck of a lot.
All right. Thanks a lot for joining us. We appreciate your input. 888-357-9876, option one is the way to join us here on Online World of Wrestling Radio, or if you're a Skyper, you can message Sir Rockin. One of the other things to come out of last night's Monday Night Raw is quite possibly one of the weirdest angles ever, with 105 pounds soaking wet with two bricks in his pocket, announcer Michael Cole playing the heel. I'm sorry, I know I'm supposed to skip with the Corm and use his real name. It's the American Dragon, Brian Danielson, man. I can't call him Daniel Bryan. I know it's a copyright thing. Before we go to our next caller, give us real quick your thoughts on those things. I know you've been watching NXT, and their finale is tonight with Otunga, Barrett, and Gabriel as the finalists. First off, your thoughts on this? And who would you pick of those three guys to, quote-unquote, win this competition?
Well, I think the angle with Michael Cole and Bryan Danielson has just been really well done. They planted seeds for it basically throughout the entire season of NXT. I know a lot of people don't watch NXT, and I know sometimes it's a little rough to drudge through to find what's good on the show, because sometimes they give you like American Gladiators version 2 segments and that kind of stuff. But, you know, it's funny because they always keep telling you how bland Danielson was and how he shouldn't be the next big star, but he's honestly ended up being like the best promo on the show. And Michael Cole remarkably has some terrific charisma as a heel. So this angle is actually working for me. I don't know where it's going. But Cole's done a great job with it, I think. Cole, by the way, is from the Poughkeepsie Journal's readership area, too. I don't know if you're aware of that. He actually went to Weavitt High School in Amenia, and one of my colleagues did an interview with him a couple years ago. But Danielson just, he's also the smallest high school in Dutchess County, Public High School. But Danielson has been really, really good with this, and I think it's clear from like the variety of stuff that they've given him that he's pretty much able to handle just about anything at this point. And, you know, that's the mark of a good performer, is that, you know, when you can show yourself to be as versatile as possible and you can be put in the ring or an angle with just about anybody and still make it good. As for the finale tonight, I mean, it would appear that Wade Barrett is the favorite going in. That seems a little too obvious. So, I really think any of the three could win tonight. That sounds like a cop-out. But I would go with Barrett if I was picking, if I were one of the seven now WWE pros. Sorry, Carlito.
Yeah, we love you, Carlito. Have some pain pills, buddy.
Yeah. He was actually my first WWE interview, believe it or not. Carlito was a couple years ago.
Hold
but
on.
I think Barrett's the most ready. I think Otunga is probably the best for them for the long term, just on, you know he's so new to the whole industry and everything that, you know, he's got a lot of work to do, but, you know, he seems to have the tools to to do what they want him, you know, to be. And Gabriel, to be honest with you, I'm not blown away by. Obviously he's a great in-ring performer, but I don't really see it. I mean, I can see him as a mid-card guy in WWE, but I don't think he even has what, you know, whatever Bourne has. So, I don't know. I would go with Barrett, though. He's big. He seems like, he talks like he's been in the business a long time. And you could put him right onto one of the main rosters and probably not miss a beat.
He is still strumming with the Poughkeepsie Journal and is a blogger for wrestling online. You can find him. As we mentioned, Daniel Bryan got a win over The Miz. I'm sitting there watching that thing, and I'm going, catamulation. Come on, put it on, put it on. The WWE fans that have never seen it would probably, their jaws would hit the floor. The person who usually makes jaws hit the floor on WTR, Wrestle Talk Radio, on this network, Sunday nights, 10 p.m., unless it's a pay-per-view night, and it's 11 p.m., the one and only Spug is joining us here. Good evening, sir.
If this prevents me from getting my Chipotle, I'm going to be very, very upset.
Well, that's why you order ahead, man.
I just did. I just found out I could order online. Do you realize how giddy that made me?
You can order pizza, you can order prostitutes, you can order everything online now.
Dude, I did not know I could order Chipotle online.
One of those you learn something every day things, man. Did you happen to watch Ashton Kutcher's pre-taped fest last night?
I thought he did good. I thought he did good.
Why wasn't he there?
Who knows? We were talking about it. Sir Rockin' and I and my friend Nicole and a few other people were online talking about it last night. It seemed like he was there for the one segment at the beginning with Eve Torres and Bret Hart, and then everything else seemed like it was pre-taped. I don't know. I kept waiting for the whole Punk thing to come back in instead of this whole, I'm going to put a hit out on Zack Ryder tonight. Yeah.
That was funny, though.
That was funny. That was funny. I kept waiting for fans to come running in going, it's me. I want to kill you.
It's funny because it could have been one of 5 million people, too, if you look at Kutcher's Twitter page. I'm led to believe that he wasn't there at all, and actually they pre-taped the stuff with Eve and The Miz in Los Angeles, I guess, earlier in the week when they found out that he wasn't going to be there.
Oh.
I thought he did well. It was entertaining. I enjoyed it. The one thing that still has me scratching my head is the promo with Bret Hart and Vince, because at times it seemed like Vince was trying to play the Mr. McMahon character, and at other times he was actually being very sincere.
Yeah, Vince was really weird last night. I don't know what you thought of it, Phil, but I'm just kind of sitting there going, this show's great. Wait a minute, what the hell's Vince doing here?
Well, the word was, after WrestleMania that was going to be the end of Mr. McMahon as a television character, but I guess the ratings dipped far enough down that they felt the need to put him back on TV again. Also, I heard that, I was reading something earlier today that said that, another part of the reason why he came back was to basically explain why Bret Hart was general manager now, because they kind of felt that didn't really make any sense, having Vince okay that and then just have it not talked about.
Go ahead, man.
I just thought he was, at parts it seemed like he was playing his usual character, and at other times he was just very sincere about it. And I like it when Vince is sincere. When you go back, you watch like the rise and fall of ECW, the rise and fall of WCW, some of like the Ric Flair and Shawn Michaels and other DVDs that he's on and interviewed. And even the E60 bit when they were talking about WrestleMania, when he comes across sincere and more human, it's like, you're really not that big of a douchebag.
Well, the funny thing is, who can really tell when Vince McMahon, the person, ends and Mr. McMahon, the character, begins? They're so similar in so many ways that it's kind of hard to tell when they start and stop sometimes.
He said that on the Jake Roberts DVD. It's like, I didn't know where Jake began and where Jake ended. And that is the case, because you see Vince doing all this tribute for the troop stuff, and this past week on the Today Show, John Cena was on dealing with a young gentleman through the Make-A-Wish Foundation. So you see all this great stuff public-wise that he does, and then I don't know if Phil can confirm it or not, but like every interview that an ex-WWE guy does, they make him out to be, yeah, he's larger than life, he's this, he's that, but he's also a jerk in this sense and a jerk in that sense. And I'm sure that's the whole bitterness of I lost my job, so now I'm going to kick some dirt on Vince. It's a hit or miss. I was really hoping, like you guys had said, the Vince on screen would have gone away, but I kind of understand the whole idea of let him come back real quick and go, you know, Brett, this is why and that's why. And one of the people in the room asked, RAZ-1 said, where is The Rock as a guest host? I thought he was all for it, which I'm kind of surprised by this for both of you. This coming night's Monday Night Raw, I believe, is here in Miami, Florida, which would have been a perfect place to bring The Rock in. But I guess he's off doing more movies or something, and I guess with the A-Team opening this on the 11th, that's why they brought him in. He apparently had said, Bill and Spug, that he wanted to do it in the right sense, that he wasn't going to come back for a match, but he didn't have a problem coming back TV-wise.
I thought he had some kind of a conflict for the Miami show, if I'm not mistaken. I don't know exactly what it was, but it sounds like he definitely wants to do it. It's just a matter of finding the right day when he's not doing anything else and they have an opening. Because there's a lot of other people, it looks like they're getting in over the next couple of weeks. So, yeah, I don't know. The Rock, whenever he comes back, it's always fun if he can manage to not take away from the show and put all of the focus onto himself. As nicely as I can say that. Because sometimes it just turns into the 15 or 20 minutes of The Rock just doing The Rock.
It's like that hot neighbor who goes off to college and then comes back every summer. You're glad when she comes back, but you're sure as hell happy when she leaves, too.
And he's like, cold medication and good and recommended doses. There was also, I don't know how true this one is, and Phil being more into the media stuff of the Avenue than I am, that apparently not only is a Rampage being a UFC guy, there's supposedly been a story going around for a while that with Paul Heyman legit representing Brock Lesnar, that they tried to reach out to Brock and Dana White didn't approve or approve. Have you heard anything on that, Phil?
I heard that Brock was interested in doing the guest host thing, as long as I think he has a biography that's coming out sometime in the next couple of months, so he would completely do it. Dana White was interviewed sometime around like the UFC pay-per-view last weekend. They asked him about Rampage doing it, and he basically flat out said, I like Vince McMahon, Rampage likes WWE, I don't have a problem with him as long as he doesn't do anything, you know, as long as he's not wrestling a match, I don't really have a problem with this. Because it's funny, though, because Vince McMahon doesn't see UFC as competition for him, and Dana White doesn't see WWE as competition for him, but they really both totally are. And it's actually really funny that they don't acknowledge each other as competition, because they really are really battling for the same pay-per-view dollars.
All right, Phil, I have a question for you that I have that I'm going to ask you before I bolt out of here, because I have to go get my food.
Okay.
As I'm going to go get my Chipotle, what does Phil Strum get on his burrito from Chipotle?
That's my question. Oh, wow. I don't go to Chipotle that much. I don't even know.
You blasphemous heathen.
I don't even know where there is one around here. I mean, the only time I've ever been to one was when I've been down in New York City.
Where's Poughkeepsie? Poughkeepsie's in New York, isn't it?
It's north of it.
It's in New York, but it's north. It's about probably about 90 minutes north of the city. So I'm lower upstate New York. So I'm not really anywhere near anything like that. So sorry. It sounds good, but
make me sad for humanity. Everybody should experience a great Chipotle.
Well, we'll make you happy.
You can order it online, right?
You can order online, but you gotta make. I tell you what, here's what you do. Go to Chipotle.com, right? You go to the website, and they'll ask you for your zip code, and they'll tell you where all the stores near you are.
Interesting. Let's see if I can load that quickly.
Yeah, there you go.
Chipotle, gourmet burritos and tacos and... I don't know what that other word is.
I'm getting stuff here on
WTR, from the friends of WTR as well. If you missed this past show on Wrestle Talk Radio, you missed possibly the greatest comeback in Wrestling Jeopardy history. And certain someone we all know came back and got... did you... how close were you or did you win? He's gone. I believe...
who was that?
Spud did win. Spud did the greatest...
He just asked that Chipotle question and bolted.
Yeah, he heard Chipotle and he was ready to go. He was at negative 4,000 in Wrestling Jeopardy with the Russell Talk Radio folks. If you want to check the archive out on that show, you can find it at wildtalkradio.com. They are the board people, and they have some other excellent programming that we pub on here like crazy. Yeah, he came back out of nowhere. Nowhere. And that was including Omega just sitting there going, yeah, I got the lead. I'm not answering jack crap. The next thing you know, Omega got killed. Right now, there's only two matches announced for the Fatal 4-Way pay-per-view. One of them being the World Heavyweight Championship, as we mentioned, Jack Swagger, CM Punk, who, God, did he look like delirious in that mask, The Big Show, and as of this reporting, The Undertaker, SmackDown TV tape is going on right now, so if you want to look for spoilers, I'm sure you can find them on many of the websites that are out there. The other main event so far is for the WWE Championship, the champ John Cena versus Edge versus Sheamus versus maybe Randy Orton, maybe not if the doctors clear him. Could you possibly see Randy stepping out and maybe the winner of NXT sliding into this thing, Phil? Or do you think they're going to make whoever NXT is go after one of the secondary belts, being either Intercontinental or United States?
I would not plug an NXT guy into that main event on any condition. That is such a huge spot for one of those guys to be in, and I just think that's so risky on a live pay-per-view, putting him in a WWE title match. I mean, for me, if somebody's going to win a title shot, can it please be like a one-on-one or a tag team match? Not all these triple threat and four-ways, six-packs, like some of these promotions do nowadays. Like, if you win a title shot, just take a one-on-one. I mean, really. I wouldn't put any of those guys in that spot. I just think it's too important of a spot, and the other three guys in the match are so far ahead of them. I mean, even then, Evan Bourne is going to be several steps behind in terms of push up against, you know, John Cena and Sheamus Edge. So I wouldn't put Barrett or anybody else in there. I think that would be silly, actually.
Truth is the mentor for Utunga. I do believe he is rocking, so that could be something interesting. And there's been stories going around. I was asked Sunday night, I jumped into WTR for a minute or two, and they asked me who I had picked, and I went along with you. I kind of went with Wade Barrett of the three of them. But Tunga's obviously the choice, being he's got Jennifer Hudson, and he comes with a built-in character of the A-list, I think he's calling himself. He's got the cockiness, but it's one of those, if this was a big man era, then I think Barrett would go in, but I'm not sure, because Justin Gabriel, I saw bits and pieces of him on the FCW TV tapes here on Bright House Network in Florida, because you were asking me last night, they're like, dude, how the hell did you get to see it? They're on here in Tampa on Bright House Sports Network. I'm not sure if it's on their website or not, but it'll be interesting. Now, there's rumors going around, someone in the chat room asked us about it, and you can interact with us in wildtalkradio.com and then click on the chat room feature. If NXT was going to do a second season immediately, or were they done? I'm not 100% sure. I've heard mixed things on this. Have you heard anything lately on this, Phil? Is there going to be an NXT season 2 immediately next week, or are they taking time off?
I think there has to be, just because Sci-Fi has the deal with them that runs all the way into the fall, and I think that's why they rush to the end of NXT season 1 and got rid of three guys the 1 week, and then they just really expedited the whole process. I only know what I read today, and that was on Figure 4 Online, was that, you know, it looked like season 2 was going to start next week, and they may even introduce the rookies and the mentors tonight on the live broadcast, and the only names I've heard so far are Joe Hennig and Caval, a.k.a. Loki, a.k.a. Brandon Silvestri, a.k.a. I guess he was, what, Senshi in TNA, too.
A.k.a.
Yeah, but he's been around for a while, so he kind of get the Bryan Danielson spot, I guess, so to speak, and And obviously Joe Hennig would be the first. Actually, technically, he wouldn't be the first second-generation wrestler because Justin Gabriel is actually a second-generation wrestler.
He's third generation. Joe Hennig's third. Yeah, I remember Larry the Axeman.
Oh, yeah. Yep, yep. And a lot of people didn't realize Justin Gabriel was a second-generation guy, too, but his father wrestled in South Africa as the Pink Panther, Paul Lloyd. I guess they're just going to start it right next week. I mean, from what you've seen from FCW, you know, who looked to be some of the guys that would be close to being ready to getting called up now?
Darby in the chat room's got a question for both of us here. They've been teasing this whole thing with Santino Marella and Vladimir Kozlov. If you could name the tag team for these two guys, what would it be and why? And by the way, thank you, 90482, for saying the show's boring. Get your own show if you want to be as boring as we are. Do you name these guys? I mean, there was a rumor going back that they were going to do a WWE.com-based sitcom around these guys.
Yeah, I heard that too, and I guess that Phoenix is going to be in a tube, but now she's hook up her knee in about three different places. The one name that strikes me was Santino and Kozlov, and it'll take you back to the 1980s sitcom, but how about Perfect Strangers?
Oh, God, that would be awesome. Bring back Don Morocco to do Fuji Vice of some kind with him. That would be awesome.
I don't know why they're teaming these two guys together, because they haven't really had any faith in either one of them for a long time now, at least as far as wrestling goes. And it just, I guess, to put them out on the road and be comic relief at some house shows and whatever. But I don't know. It's not really a team that I would look forward to watching every week.
All right. 888-357-9976, option 1 is the way to join us here in the remaining moments with Phil Strom. While we got you here, go ahead and talk about your blog again and any upcoming interviews that you have in the works or are ready to be set and put on the site.
Not at the moment. I usually do the interviews. I usually set them up when there's something coming to the area. That's usually what my in is to start doing them. When TNA came to the area last, I interviewed AJ Styles. When Northeast Wrestling, which is actually pretty big indie promotion here in the Northeast, run by Michael O'Brien. They ran the Mid-Hudson Civic Center and had a sellout show. Roddy Piper came to Poughkeepsie a couple days early, did some media, and I got to sit down and talk to him for a little bit. And also Tommy Dreamer came a little bit early to the area to do some media. But right now there's nothing imminent in my area in terms of wrestling. NEW just did two shows locally, so they're probably not going to be doing one for a couple of months. WWE hasn't been up here in a while. I don't know why that is particularly, but TNA probably would only run us like maybe once or twice a year. But you know, when other stuff comes up, you know, when they did, you know, tribute to the troops in December, you know, I got sent an email, hey, if you want to interview somebody, you know, by all means do so. So WWE's been very good at getting me people. TNA, you know, recently has been very good at getting people. And Michael O'Brien at Northeast Wrestling, I don't know how many of the listeners have heard of that promotion, but they draw some of the best crowds, independent crowds, around. You know, they just have a very good, loyal group of guys that works their shows, and they bring in some big names like the Jerry Lawlers and the Tommy Dreamers and the Booker T's and the Ken Andersons of the world to headline the shows, and they always put on a good show and always throw a good crowd every time. But yeah, no interviews imminently. Right now the blog's rolling the way it is. You know, Kevin takes care of TNA for me, and I love him for it. And you know, just the usual stuff, you know, regular readers, my readership numbers are good, and, you know, I have a lot of good support back to the Kitchen Journal for what I'm doing.
We both want to send a Future Endeavors out to someone. I'm sure he's not listening in, but we want to send from each of us, having dealt with TNA Wrestling, me for the last couple of years that he was there, and Phil as well, we want to say a special goodbye to Ross Foreman. Now, if that name means nothing to you guys, that's because you didn't deal with him as a media person. He's the second-in-command of Stephen Godfrey at TNA Wrestling. Oh, wait, sorry, was. So from both of us, Ross, we love you. Get out of wrestling. Phil Strom has been our guest here. Once again, give them how to get to your blog, man, in case they didn't hear it at the beginning.
Well, you can get to it by going to thetipsyjournal.com/blogs and looking for my piece, where it says Under the Ring, or you can go to Pojo Slam, that's P-O-J-O slam.blogspot.com. We always have, you know, tons of stuff up during the week. Like I said, my normal, you know, takes on wrestling, and, you know, I've been watching for 25 years now, like a lot of, you know, long-time fans I'm sure we have listening tonight. So, and also, you know, it's probably not the last you could hear about my blog today, because, you know, who your second guest is.
All right, Phil Strum's been our guest, 888-357-9876, option one. As he mentioned, he does have a colleague, his name is Kevin Scott. He will be joining us in the second hour. Sir Rockin is going to take us to the break, and we're all going to get some sedatedness thanks to the greatest band to come out of Forest Hills, New York. Take it away with the Ramones, baby. Online World of Wrestling Radio, join us. We'll be back in the second hour.
Website on the internet today brings you everything from everywhere. The WWE, TNA, Ring of Honor, the Indies, all this and more can be found on one site. The Hero Set, and everything wrestling. Head on over to www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. News, news, and information from the world of professional wrestling is right at your fingertips, only a month's look away, with every single page chock full of information and news on your favorite wrestling stars, such as
Chris Jericho,
Derek Bischoff,
Vince McMahon,
Mick Foley,
plus the most definitive sports for all the best audio and video the internet has to offer. As well, news articles and blogs from some of the best known internet wrestling stars today, and the most in-depth and detailed profiles and galleries of the biggest and brightest stars of today,
Rob Van Dam.
Christy Hemme.
Jay Lethal.
Yesterday.
Brett the Hitman Hart.
The Sergeant Slaughter.
Ted DiBiase, the Million Dollar Man.
Paul Hogan, the greatest of all time.
Jimmy Vance, the Booker Wickerman.
And tomorrow.
Peter Wilson.
Natty Neidhart.
Harry Smith.
Jack Evans.
Get into the world of wrestling. Online. It's the site that throws you. Online World of Wrestling. www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. Check it out today.
Hey everyone, it's Tim Stein here to tell you about a brand new podcast debuting soon, exclusively on the Wild Talk Radio Network. The History of will take you on a fantastic journey as we look at some of the most famous rock groups, funny people, and actors and actresses of all time. Utilizing the video abilities of Ustream as well as the lossless stereo sound of internet audio, The History of will bring a totally new experience to Wild Talk Radio. So make sure that you join me, your host, Tim Stein, as we take a look at the history of some of your most favorite people ever. Make sure to keep a lookout for this brand new webcast coming soon, only to Wild Talk Radio.
Hey everyone, this is Phil Rocket, the host of CB Radio, which you can catch every Saturday night.
Whoa, wait, Rock?
Yes, Cindy?
Did you just call yourself the host of CB Radio?
I kinda did just call me the host of CB Radio.
Honey, everyone knows that you are just the producer.
Hey, I'm not just the producer, I am the host of
Oh my god, shut up! everyone knows that I am the host of CD Radio, which you can check out Saturday night, midnight-ish, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Now, Rock.
Yes, darling.
This is where you tell everyone, I'll see you Saturday.
I'll see you Saturday.
Good boy.
Hey, old Mace here.
Straight shooter, opinionated, unprofessional.
For months, we've had Maverick running around
saying how he's on college radio, how he's professional, he's giving us free plugs.
But you know what? Screw that! If you want to listen to a show that's handcuffed and censored, go listen to his show. If you want to listen to real people with real opinions using real language, then you come listen to us. Wrestle Talk Radio is the place where we might cuss out a storm, but we are always entertaining. So join Bug, Will, Omega, Tim Stein, and myself as we give opinions uncensored every Sunday night right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Now you hear that, Mav? That's real. That's damn real.
Well. It is I, the quintessential stud muffin, Joel Gertner, and you're listening to the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Unconceivable! Unbelievable! Grammar like a hammer, information receivable! Sent by the Lord, here and abroad, with one foot!
Welcome back to Hour 2 of the Empire State Type Tribute to the Five Boroughs, Long Island, and everywhere else in New York. On my World of Wrestling Radio, 888-357-9876. Option 1 is the way to join us. Or if you want to join us through the Skype network, you hit Sir Rockin' Up. He is the board master of the night, who's not a happy camper, as his Philadelphia Flyers are sitting down 0-2, but I'm not allowed to talk hockey, Tim Stein, the master of all domains, says, no hockey talk on your show, that's for me. Yeah, always got to give tribute to the greatest hip-hop act to come out of Hollis, Queens, Run, DMC, and the late Jam Master Jay. Miss Jay Mizell, really wish there was still some Run DMC music out there. We've got another hour here, well, we got until we run out of time, as you found out listening to us last week. Here on All My World of Wrestling Radio. Don't forget you can join us in the interactive chat on wildtalkradio.com/chat.php. The question of the night, like we did last week with the managers, if you could match up soon to be, God, I was hoping it would have been this past year, WWE superstar Owen Hart with a current WWE or TNA star or ROH star, who would it be and why? We actually got a couple wrestlers in on this. Dark City Fight Club member Corey Chavis joined us through his online stuff, and he picked current WWE developmental soon-to-be on the air, American Dragon Bryan Danielson, and the founder of the one of the founders of the Jeff Peterson Memorial Cup, Naftali, who also works in Florida's Milo Beasley. He actually picked Matt Hardy. Now, I don't know if it's going to be Matt Hardy version 1, or I don't know who it would be. Mike Liguori of Tampa, Florida mentions Chris Jericho or Kurt Angle. Phil Stroman brought up Kurt Angle in our chat room saying that him and Kurt kind of missed each other. And Danielle D'Adamo of New Jersey mentioned Fallen Angel Christopher Daniels, AJ Styles, or Desmond Wolfe. And David Moreno of Tampa also joined in. He mentioned Daniel Bryan, and we're going to switch it up here in hour number 2, and we're going to go into the wonderful world that Spug doesn't like, and that is TNA Wrestling, and we're going to stick with the Poughkeepsie Journal Wrestling blog, folks. He's not an employee of the Poughkeepsie Journal yet, but I'm sure we petition him enough he will be. Long Island resident Kevin Scott will be joining us here on Online World of Wrestling Radio. Welcome, sir.
Thank you, Alan. How are you guys doing tonight?
Oh, we're doing pretty good here in 90 to 85 degree weather in Tampa at 10-something at night. In case you're joining us, Kevin does talk Ring of Honor. Kevin also talks TNA. He's everything that Phil doesn't watch. This past Thursday's Impact saw actually some pretty good matches, Kevin. One of them, we'll name them real fast, and then you can tell us which one you thought was the best. You
okay.
had Frankie the Future Kazarian and Jay Lethal, with Kaz keeping the impression going that he's going to fall under the Ric Flair umbrella. You also had former champ AJ Styles take on Mr. A-Hole Anderson, who that was a pretty neat way to end the match with the whole, you got me, boom, I just got you. You also had Desmond Wolfe, who we mentioned is a dream opponent of the late, great Owen Hart, taking on Jeff, I think I'm close to jail time, Hardy. I think his trial was supposed to start now, or wasn't supposed to start. I wish we could figure it out. Nick Anthony's favorite wrestler, Orlando Jordan, took on the Monster Abyss. The Team 3D soap opera continued, and I believe the show was left with the possible teaming of Mr. Anderson and Jeff Hardy. Is this something that you're sitting there going, Kevin, going, yeah, this is actually getting better than they have been in the last few weeks? Or are you sitting there like a lot of the fans going, get rid of Russo, Ferrara, and Conway, and bring in somebody else? Your opinion on the whole, the show Thursday night and then everywhere else.
Okay, it's very hard to talk about TNA without getting very angry. Because as we all know, the show, at least for the past, we're going back to January, the whole reboot, the show is awful. There's no getting around it. They do have great moments. They can put some great matches together. The roster is phenomenal, no pun intended. But for the most part, their matches, because they're trying to fit so much in, because the roster is the size of, I guess, what you can get as many fans to the Madison Square Garden, they have the issue where these great matches that should be held off for pay-per-views, by the way, are being run for about 3 minutes. And usually, because they don't want to make anyone look bad on free TV, you're going to have the DQ ending, or, you know, half the roster runs in, we're running out of time, the greatest night in the history of our sport. It's really hard to sit there and watch a show where you know it should be good, but for whatever reason, they're just missing that one little thing that would put them over the top. As far as this past Thursday, it's going to seem strange. My favorite match is actually Kazarian and Jay Lethal, simply because they were the two guys I've been waiting forever to finally see get a shot on TV. As far as storytelling going, maybe the whole thing with Anderson Hardy was very interesting for some people. I feel that it's the obvious thing where, for my money, I think Anderson's the whole, you know, setting this whole thing up to where he's going to show that he really is an a-hole. But that's just my opinion on that. I would like to see more of the X Division guys get a little bit of exposure. So I'm going to go with the whole Kazarian Lethal match.
There's been some rumors going around that, yes, I'm one of the few that's really ticked that there is no King of the Mountain main event on the pay-per-view
yeah.
set up for Slammiversary. Let me run the matches real quick that have been announced for the show so far. They already have announced the world champ, Rob. Man. Crap, lost my train. Oh, yeah, damn. Yeah, that guy is going to take on the legendary Sting. And you also have, apparently they are introducing the new NXT rookies on NXT tonight. So if you like listening to us and you want to cheat ahead of all of us, feel free to go ahead and do that. The band with Scott, I Like Drinking in Florida, and I have my probation taken away, Hall. Eric Young and Kevin Nash taking on Matt Morgan and, well, Matt Morgan. And also announced the X Division champion Douglas Williams is taking on Brian Kendrick. Your thoughts as a fan and as a media person on them taking King of the Mountain out? I'm mad because I guess I'm a TNA traditionalist that I attended Slammiversary 05, 06, 07 in person in Orlando and then the one in Nashville. And that match is always the one thing that I'm like, I can't wait to see who they plug into this thing this year. Are you thinking this is a Bischoff thing, or what are your thoughts on it?
It's very easy to point the finger at Bischoff. I think on the same hand as you were, tradition is supposed to be there. But what really upsets me about this time is that, unlike maybe a couple of these shows where it just seemed that they were throwing random people in, just throw random people in, they have enough people right now who could legitimately make a claim for a title shot. There are so many people in the company that could easily be plugged into this match that it makes absolutely no sense whatsoever for this to be the final time where we go, you know what, we're going to scrap this idea, and we're going to throw, you know, a supposed dream match that I don't really think anyone's ever had a dream about. RVD's thing, never really even thought about it. When you have guys where you can have anything between Kurt Angle, AJ Styles, if you want to put Abyss still up there, which I'll be honest, it's kind of hard to keep him up there and at top. Matt Morgan's there, Samoa Joe. There are so many guys, Jeff Hardy hasn't been mentioned, so many guys can easily plug into that match where I don't understand why you wouldn't throw it on there. Makes no sense to me whatsoever.
Yeah, it's an interesting situation. I've heard the stories from fans that have been on the chat boards and stuff that are going, no, it's had its time, it needs to go away, but I don't understand. Take away, you already took away the Six Sides of Steel,
exactly,
which was a signature TNA match, because the WWE newcomers that came in couldn't bump, apparently, in a six-sided ring, and of course, they're gone. Thanks, Nasty Boys. We love you. God bless. Hope you're enjoying your wrestling school. X Division's Ultimate X is, you know, another staple of this promotion. And if they get rid of Ultimate X, that would probably be the one thing that would make everybody walk out the door. Speaking of people who were shown the door recently, I don't like pubbing Cowhead here in Tampa, Florida, but I'm going to anyway. Cowhead, who was the guy that was involved in the Awesome Kong Punk on the air,
right,
sent in word to some of the websites that Sean Waltman was in the studio recently for an interview on the show and announced his real reason that he was not available to be at lockdown. He tested positive for hepatitis C. Now, the story making the rounds at the time, Kevin and fans, was that he wasn't cleared to wrestle by the Missouri State Commission because of this. And he informed TNA prior to that. And this is kind of a shocker to people. Waltman also revealed on the show that he actually tried to end his life on a trip to Mexico, that he was hanging himself with a garden hose and taking pills. And fortunately for him, Alicia Webb, who worked for WWE under the name of Ryan Shamrock, saved him. And they dated in 2007. Is this one of those, like, situations, especially with Scott Hall getting busted recently in Orlando, that TNA is sitting there going, damn, why did we sign these guys?
Well, let's take it from the first thing. It's 2010. And the band / NWO / Wolfpack, whatever, are the tag team champions. Take that for what you want. Going towards the personal problems and demons and everything, you have Sean Waltman, you have Scott Hall. RVD, we know about his past where he should have been champion of a certain company, or the, I guess the, let's pretend, certain company, but he kind of blew it himself. And then, of course, you have Jeff Hardy, who, as you mentioned before, his trial was pushed back about 3 times, and I believe it should be coming up again in maybe a month or so. I'm not exactly sure of the date now, but he could be going to away for quite some time. It seems like TNA has become kind of like the hideout on Miami Vice world the criminals go to where they can escape prosecution. I have absolutely no idea why they would put so much stock into certain people. I mean, granted, yes, obviously getting Jeff Hardy, big deal. Huge guy in WWE when he was leaving merchandise sales. The young girls love him and some of the young guys. It's understandable why they would go after someone like that, but maybe if he had a little bit less legal problems. And then you look at someone like Scott Hall, Sean Waltman, what were you thinking? I would love to give benefit of the doubt. Granted, it's kind of hard to, you know, beats up all he's down, because we all love him, let's be honest. Everybody is entertained by Scott Hall when he's somewhat sober. It's a shame. It's really a shame. If you want to, like, really go full blast on that, Kurt Angle. When he came in, I'm sure a lot of people who were cheering for him today were very worried about where he was going to wind up. He was obviously battling several addictions. He was having some really serious problems to where they pretty much had to run an entire year's worth of storyline between him and Samoa Joe in a matter of weeks. They had no real way of knowing whether he was going to be around in a couple of months. They had this complete blow, which could have been some great paydays and some great storytelling. I really wish I understood TNA a little bit better, but I don't think TNA understands TNA. So that's where you have to leave it at that.
888-357-9976, option one is the way to join us here on All My World of Wrestling Radio. Kevin Scott has joined us here. He blogs with Phil Strom, and we'll mention their blog in a couple minutes here. Darby in the chat room brought up a couple people that I can't believe they're still on the TNA payroll. Shouldn't TNA just finally set up Raven and Rhino in the tag division or let them go? Another person brought up Brutus Magnusman. There's like TNA almost now, Kevin, is turning into the old WCW where they have tons of people sitting on the roster that are either getting paid or not getting paid. Your thoughts first on the Raven Rhino situation and the rumored cuts, obviously. If you want to name a couple people who you would cut, would you cut these guys?
As much as it hurts to admit, I would cut Raven and Rhino. I'm a huge ECW mark. I've been a fan of the company since day one. But the only problem is that there are a lot of guys who, let's just say, are no longer in their prime. I can still see Rhino putting on a decent match. Raven's more, definitely more of, you know, psychology at this point as opposed to, you know, in-ring work. But it's troubling that this bloated and completely bloated roster is to a point where what can you do? What can you really do outside of cut pretty much everybody? You're not going to get another 2 hours. They don't really need another 2 hours to start fighting because they can't even put together a solid first 2 hours. If you're going to do something with anybody, you have to get rid of people who, I say, over a certain age. Let's you know, put some of the guys to rest. Time to, you know, figure out something, you know, next step of your life. I realize that Ric Flair will probably die in the ring. That's how he's going out. There won't be another retirement thing. That's his whole thing. He will be there until he literally cannot move an inch. Most of the ECW guys, you keep hearing about the whole supposed the ECW evasion that they keep talking about because they're praying that Paul Heyman will somehow lose his mind and come over there. But I just don't see a real need for, what's the roster now, 150 people? Even though maybe you only see about the same 12?
I wish. I have no idea.
I haven't even looked at the roster page in a while because they never updated. I think Sharkboy Suicide, Daniel's still on there. I wouldn't be surprised if Kong was there still, but it's just a huge joke. In all honesty, there's way too many people. You have a lot of young guys who, you know, as I was saying, the next division was pretty much destroyed in this whole mess, which is the biggest shame of it all. Because outside of that brief period where the Knockouts were the best division of all wrestling, which is just amazing that the women could, you know, reach that level. The X Division was the thing that, for me, made TNA TNA. That was the alternative. That was the thing that, when I got sick of watching Triple H win his 25th championship, I was able to turn on the channel and see young guys doing some incredible, just amazing. I don't want to call it wrestling because it transcended wrestling. It was something that was just absolutely unbelievable. The Ultimate X match is without a doubt the greatest thing I can think of. In terms of what I've seen in wrestling over almost 30 years of watching, that is the absolute most exciting thing I can think of outside maybe the main event of WrestleMania. And let's be honest, main event of WrestleMania recently, yeah. But I've never understood why they haven't been able to realize what their strengths are, why they haven't been able to tap that potential, because they have so much going for them. It's almost like TNA is kind of like a pizza, in a way. where they have a mix of the freshest ingredients possible. Everything's high quality. They got the old Sicilian family recipes that was handed down, you know, generation after generation. But the pizza dough is rotten. And until they realize that the pizza dough is rotten, they're not going to get any further than people throwing that out in garbage cans. They have this incredible roster full of, and I'll even give for some of the people where, you know, everyone, it's easy to hate Hogan. We, you know, that's the easy person to attack in this. Hulk Hogan is obviously the most recognizable person in wrestling history. Right there, you have someone you can market it around, which they've actually been guilty of doing false advertising for some of their shows, but whatever.
Including Brooklyn, New York.
Yeah, I'm a little peeved about that one myself. But to not get off track real fast, I live in the New York area. I didn't hear about that show until 2 days before it went on sale, and I still haven't seen any advertising whatsoever.
Wow.
Can TNA please promote? It's not that difficult. Get a street team. Put up a sign. Do anything. Promote. Commercial
TV. They
have
one. There's street teams all over the place. There were totally with stuff. I don't know about New York.
I have never seen. The only thing I've ever seen here was that big billboard in Times Square that was surrounded by several thousand other billboards.
Of course. You can't go five blocks in New York without running into big advertising. I want to jump in real quick. You mentioned Ric Flair. He's been busy with all of the TV being taped 200 years in advance. Nature's over in Britain being a part of, I think it's European Rampage or something is the name of their tour that they're going to be having going on in January. He's done a couple media interviews. One of them was for the British website Digital Spy, and you mentioned that he may die in the ring. He has vowed never to retire again. Quote, I'll just walk away or fall off the top rope and turn to ash or dust. I'll just crumble and they'll sweep me into a wastebasket and I'll be gone. He also said that he can't turn a computer on, and even if he did, he wouldn't pay attention to the stuff said about him on the internet. Quote, it's not that I don't respect the fans, but it's just, what can a wrestling fan tell me about wrestling? And you mentioned it about the awareness factor. He also claims, Kevin and fans, that Eric Bischoff and Hulk Hogan are in for not only the long haul, but that TNA will have, quote, as much awareness as WWE in 6 months. He also went on in this interview to say, we're going to see a brand new superstar, and you know him. His name is Reed Flair. He made the announcement while he was recording a show in the UK with the media newspaper The Sun. Now, we've seen nepotism before in this business. Anybody want to remember Eric Watts of the WCW era? It can go great for you. It may not go great for you. Your thoughts on Rick with this whole thing of they're going to have as much awareness as WWE in 6 months. They've been around. In case fans aren't realizing it, this is the 8th anniversary of TNA wrestling. I'm one of the few that can honestly say, I've covered TNA wrestling since day one when they were in Alabama at a show that I think went 6 months long. It just feels that way. Are you buying what the Nature Boy is selling here, that in 6 months TNA is going to have as much notoriety or awareness as WWE? I mean, is that their role, them and Spike together? Who's at fault for them not being as popular?
I'm praying that was a joke. I really don't even know how to begin on that one. As far as the awareness thing, no. It's 6 months, 6 years, quite frankly, maybe even 6 decades. The way that it's going right now, they're not putting themselves out there the way they should be. It's for people to know about your product, you have to promote it. That is just simple common sense. You've had Hogan's going on stuff like The View. He was on the Stern Show, which, yes, people do catch Stern if they have satellite radio.
He was on Wendy Williams, baby. Can't forget Wendy Williams.
Oh, sorry. And Wendy Williams, yes, because wrestling fans love Wendy Williams. I don't understand why you wouldn't do something with, I don't know, maybe one of the younger, if we can say this, good-looking guys, have like an AJ Styles, Kazarian, put somebody out on TV, let you know, a younger audience get to see them. The awareness thing, that's too funny. Going towards his son being a superstar, people have seen this guy wrestle before. Reed is horrible. There's no getting around that. He would not be mentioned as being a part of this business if his father wasn't who his father is. That's as far as that goes. The thing I loved the most about that interview was that quote about, what can a wrestling fan tell me about wrestling? I don't consider myself to be a wrestling journalist. I'm not an expert. I simply am just a fan. And yet, Ric Flair makes a great point. I could not tell him a single thing whatsoever about stepping to the ring and wrestling. I have no idea he is Ric Flair. His knowledge is probably a little bit more than mine. However, as a fan, I can tell him what's entertaining. I can tell him what I don't want to see on TV. I can tell him what is just completely awful. And apparently, that's something that most people at TNA are not able to do. I don't see how Abyss hulking up, wearing ketchup and mustard-stained outfits, pretending that he's getting power from the competition's Hall of Fame ring. That's a whole other story. I don't see how that is quality programming. I don't understand how Orlando Jordan is playing this very flamboyant character, and yet he might very well be the most boring person on the face of the earth. It's a character that, quite frankly, should jump off the screen. It should be in your face. It should be just completely either hysterical or unsettling, depending upon your views. And yet, you see this guy come out, and after he does the whole creepy stuff, which, yes, does get attention, he unfortunately has to talk. And he's dull. He's incredibly, he is pretty much the equivalent of paint drying on a loop. I don't understand how this isn't working for him. I would feel that this would be the cheapest way to get, you know, heat, and he's not able to do that. And quite frankly, when Rob Terry's more interesting than you, something's wrong there. but going back to Flair's a funny guy. I respect the way he's been in to the business. He's had some of the most incredible matches I've ever seen. But just, really, guy? Once again, I'm just a wrestling fan. What do I know?
888-357-9876. Option 1 is the way to join us here on Online World of Wrestling Radio with Kevin Scott, who blogs TNA and other promotions on Phil Strum's blog. Give the name of that real quick and how people can check it out.
Sure, definitely. You can read my TNA reviews and also catch Phil at www.pojoslam.com. That's pojoslam.blogspot.com.
We've got some interaction in the chat room. Darby's got a lot of questions about TNA. We'll ask a couple of them. One is concerning the phenomenal AJ Styles. He's been in the mix with Ric Flair for a while, and as you saw on Impact, it looked like him and Kaz were having the, no, he's my nature boy chat. She wants to know, would either of us want to see AJ go back to the X Division? I'm not 100% sure on that idea. I think he's an X Division guy, but if you saw the original triple threat match with Joe, Daniels, and Styles back in the day in 2005, and then you saw the recent one now, it looked like, what happened, man? Did you, like, get your X Division wings clipped, boys? Because it was one of the safest matches in the history of wrestling. Your thoughts on the phenomenal one. Do you think you should go back to X Division, or you like what they've been doing with them lately?
Okay, this is a double-edged sword, because as much as I would love to see him go back to X Division, along with Joe, along with Daniels, if he's actually going to return, no. They reached a point where, I don't want to say the X Division is beneath them, but they have gone to the next level. Maybe not so much Daniels, but at the very least, AJ and Samoa Joe have been elevated to the heavyweight title picture. Also a case of, they have so many guys who can actually make the X Division exciting without the benefit of having those three guys there. And it would be a lot more beneficial towards the company and towards the future to have those younger guys, or even the ones who have been there for a little bit but just haven't, for whatever reason, broken through, to let them step up to the plate. You do have the Lethal. You have Homicide. Fernandez could do something there. You have Kazarian, obviously. Eric Young is somebody who I feel that Creative has destroyed in terms of the multiple heel turns. And it's kind of hard to take him seriously, at least for me. I still see him as, you know, Stupid Eric, and then all of a sudden, the very next day, he's, you know, Bad Boy with the band. Because you still have guys like Brian Kendrick, Alex Shelley, Chris Sabin, Douglas Williams. There's a lot of guys there. They don't need AJ Styles stealing the spotlight from them. As far as, say, my thoughts on AJ Styles alone, I still will say that he might very well be the best guy out there right now. He can't talk on the mic. It's awkward. I appreciate what they were trying to do with Ric Flair. I don't think it really hit the mark that it should have, only because it's a combination of maybe his accent and the fact that he doesn't seem comfortable pretending to be Minnie Nate. It's not working out for him. It's not working out for me as a viewer. His ability, and yes, once again, it's a pun, but he's phenomenal. The guy can do it all. I have no problem watching him in the ring against a mop. He could probably get a good match out of that. I want to see him actually become what he should have been many years ago, the true centerpiece of the company. I can't remember how many times they've started a run where at first it was against Jeff Jarrett, several times where he looked like he was going to, you know, climb the top, and he actually did win the title, you know, a handful of times before anyone realized. But they never gave him that real push. He would win the belt, the fans go crazy, and the very next week it'd be, okay, what's AJ going to do now? And they never realized, wait a second, after he wins the title, we still have to tell a story. I mean, that's the problem that happens with a lot of guys, where it's pretty much the entire story is their run up to the belt, and then they kind of go, oops, we forgot what to do next. You're now a transitional champion. AJ Styles has all the tools outside of the mic work, and really, that shouldn't be that difficult thing to work on. But he has all the tools, and they have yet to make him a star. And now, granted, some of that's on his own play, that he has to realize he needs to step up in certain ways. One, get acting lessons. Two, learn how to talk. He is just as guilty in terms of why he's not a household name. But once again, it all comes down to promotion. Put the guy on a lunchbox. Have him, you know, go on a tour of malls. Do something out of the box where you're going to get him to connect that new audience that you're looking for. Having him on Spike TV now on Thursday nights, where there's no real advertising outside of, say, you know, a UFC show, who knows who AJ Styles is? It's, once again, all their problems come down to just a simple lack of common sense.
888-357-9976, option one is the way to join Kevin Scott here on Online World of Wrestling Radio. I am your host, Alan Wojcik. I want to thank each and every one of you for joining us this week, and you can catch this through podcasting, which we'll mention at the end of the show. We've got another participant from on the Sunday night show on this awesome Wild Talk Radio Network. Thanks for them for letting us be a part of it. Mace has joined us here, who I believe you scored some TNA wrestling trading cards?
Yeah, I did, Alan. It just happens that I had to go out and buy some ink for my printer and everything. And while I was out, I just happened to cross a little trading card booth where the guy there, Malcolm, who I regularly get my World of Warcraft stuff through, he had boxes of TNA The New Era, which is the brand new trading card set that has come out. So I decided to pick up a couple of packs, and I must say, besides the fact of Hogan being the first six cards in the set, I'm getting quite a chuckle out of them. Well, the cards themselves are your typical sort of half promo, half in-ring shots. Like the Jeff Hardy one is the picture of him sitting on top of the, oh, what was it? The dome thing they used on the first Monday Night Special. That thing. You know, they got Brian Boring as Kraft Kendrick looking very angry on his one. But what actually got me laughing a lot was a little subset that they've quite magic, and the first card in which is TNA Impact moves to Monday. Great time to bring that card set out when they are no longer on Monday nights.
Absolutely awesome. We want to bring Mason on this conversation because, unlike Spug, Mace actually does enjoy a little bit of TNA wrestling.
Yes.
I wanted to bring him in on this one as well, and some of the fans may be asking this. I know on the OWW Genesis board, which you can get through onmyworldofwrestling.com, this topic was brought up. Former WWE stars Maria Kanellis, Gregory Helms, Paul Burchill, and Charlie Haas, and I believe Shelton Benjamin, are all free to join TNA Wrestling as their respective 90-day no-compete clauses with the WWE have expired. For fans that aren't aware what the heck that means, it basically means that the talent immediately released can't join TNA. They can go work for a Ring of Honor or somewhere along those lines, but they couldn't appear directly on TV. Of these names, and I know the previous regime on this show was all about, let's get rid of these guys and bring in the WWE guys. I'll put this to Kevin first and then to Mace. Of the names that I just mentioned, being Haas, Benjamin, Burchill, Helms, who will wrestle, Kanellis seems to be, she's stepping away from it, wants to do commentary, but we already have an ex-WWE Playboy bunny here. I don't know if we got room for two. If you had to pick one of these guys, Kevin, who are you bringing in? Who are you not bringing in?
Well, I could always make room for another Playboy model, but that's just me. Outside of those guys, Mickey James is the easy pick because, one, the knockout division is has been devastated. You lose Kong, you lose Alicia Flash, Gail Kim obviously left a long time ago, ODB's probably on the way out. They need a major star. Tara, once again, they've lost a lot of people. I'll go with Mickey James. Shelton Benjamin, I have long been a fan of. He's somebody who I would almost say was the WWE's version of AJ Styles, a guy who can do pretty much anything in the ring except for talking to Mike, and that's always hampered him. But I love his work. Obviously, the Money in the Bank matches up until this year, he pretty much stole the show. He's absolutely amazing. Charlie Haas, if you're going to bring him in, yeah, the two of them together, maybe another reunion with Angle, but that's exactly what I think TNA would go for, and that's, once again, a retread. It's like, come up with the original idea that might help you once in a while. Hurricane, I like him, and I don't like him. He really does nothing for me in the ring, but I do like his personality, I like his charisma. I'm sure he might have a little bit of an issue with a certain knockout if he goes to the company, but I wouldn't be against the idea of him showing up. And Burchill, he's somebody who I never appreciated. I know a lot of people do like his in-ring work. I never got into the character, especially when he became a pirate at one point. I kind of I kind of stopped watching the competition a little while ago. But if you're going to keep doing the whole let's bring people in, make sure that you're being very careful about it, just how many. So I'm just limit it to Mickey and Shelton.
Okay, Mace, of the names that I mentioned, Haas, Benjamin, Kevin brought up Mickey. Dixie Carter had put on her Twitter that she apparently went to a listening party for Mickey's country CD. You've got Sugar Shane Helms or Gregory Helms or Hurricane Helms or what? God, I don't know. The guy's got more nicknames than Apollo Creed. Of the names mentioned, do you bring anybody in? Or are you sitting there going, screw it, man, I don't need these guys. If the Fed didn't want them, why the heck should I bring in Mickey James, Haas, Benjamin, Helms, Burchill? I think Katie Leah Burchill was released as well. And is this a situation of stick with what you got, or, like other people have said, let's get rid of some of these guys and bring these guys in and see if they'll help right the ship after the .5 from a couple months ago?
Well, with TNA's supposedly upcoming cost-cutting measures on the roster and everything, you got to think the only way they bring these guys in, if they're going to work for either paper appearance or a very low-end contract, which means you might have a good chance of getting at least Benjamin Huff and Burchill. But Burchill I probably wouldn't bother with. Benjamin, stick him in the X Division. He'd do great there. Same with Huff. Same with Helms, if you can get a hold of him, but I think he'd probably ask a bit too much money. Mickey James, great cross-promotion. Let her do a promotion for a music thing on the air, and who knows, you know, when she starts making it big, because I've heard one of her country songs, they're really, really good. You know, maybe she can start mentioning TNA during interviews. It's all actually, those guys would fit really well. I can't really see anything wrong if they decide to pick up, you know, all five, if, you know, if they want to.
Well, they could have them debut at Slammiversary. For fans like me who have been watching TNA forever, and, you know, I'm going to harp on that because I'm not someone that just sat around and, oh my God, Caval is on NXT and his pros are Layla and Michelle McCool. Is that right, Rockin?
You're kidding me.
Oh my God. Yes, Caval.
Ladies and gentlemen, you have your Daniel Bryan of the next season.
To go back to my point real quick, and I'm sorry to do that, but we are interactive on this show, like JT the Brick of Fox Sports Radio likes to say. We break stuff on the air. Go back to Slammiversary 2004, and the surprise of that night was the debut of a guy who we talk about a lot on here, and he could possibly be North Carolina Penitentiary number 357-876-2. Jeff Hardy debuted at Slammiversary 2004, taking on then X Division champion AJ Styles, and then Kid Cash and some guy named Dallas interrupted. You know him now as Vance Archer, who looks pretty cool on SmackDown. I wouldn't be surprised to see us, after the Slammiversary pay-per-view on the 13th, talking about one of these people coming in. It's a hit or miss, because who's really running the ship is the question, because obviously Russo is wanting actually to leave completely. There was a story that he now wants to just, I want to be the executive producer. Well, I think they already have a couple people doing that, Vince, and they're not exactly doing a super-duper job here. In the remaining seconds we got here with Kevin, because we're going to let him get going, your colleague Phil Strum actually wanted me to ask you, besides who you cover right now, what other wrestling do you watch, and who do you think are some of the next guys to move up from the independent scene, such as a Full Impact Pro, Ring of Honor, Pro Wrestling Guerrilla, any of the promotions that are out there?
Okay, for the most part, ROH be my second love, if I can call TNA any kind of love. Outside of the ROH roster, you do have the Briscoes, which I'm still shocked they haven't made the move yet. Austin Aries did have his abbreviated run in TNA. I could see him. I would love to see him come back as an X Division wrestler. I don't know if that's going to happen anytime soon. Tyler Black is an interesting name because he has been so over with the fans, but unfortunately his storyline was stretched so long that eventually became a matter of no matter what was going to happen, you had to hate him. So he kind of lost the fans of on that one, but he does have a lot of tools. He's great look. I wouldn't mind seeing him step up to the ranks. Then you have a guy like Roderick Strong, who may have burned bridges. Who knows at this point? I wouldn't mind seeing him on TV on a weekly basis. He used to be incredibly horrible on the mic. He has gotten a little bit better, still not that great. Obviously a guy like David Richards, who also had a little bit of controversy a little bit ago with the Evolve Wrestling. There's a good group of guys who could, even throw Chris Hero up there, who could make the leap, probably more likely to a TNA as opposed to WWE. But I think what right now is what's best for them is to focus on, you know, cutting the fat right now, taking the guys they have currently and making real stars out of them, and then going to the ranks of the independents to see who's going to come up next.
Give guys a little bit of chance to actually build upon what they have already. That's how I would do it.
All right, Kevin Scott's been our contributor for the night here. Guest, whatever you want to call it. Some people were like, you have no guests on your show, dude. Well, hey, they're guests, they're contributors. They're all around here. Once again, give the website how you get to read your blog. I believe it's on Under the Ring. Is that the title it still has for the blog?
Under the Ring, correct. Yes, it's Phil Strum's blog for the Skeptic Journal. You can read my TNA rants at www.pojoslam, that's pojoslam.blogspot.com.
All right, Kevin Scott, thank you very much for being with us. Mace is going to stick around, and after the break, we're going to run down some of your picks again that you made for the dream opponents of the legendary Owen Hart. We'll run through also a little bit of some upcoming events in the area, including the Ring of Honor. And if you're a Ring of Honor person and you want to try out for the company, stay tuned because you can try out for Adam Pearce at an upcoming show. 888-357-9876 is the way to join us. I want Flava Flav and my man Chuck D to play us out on Online World of Wrestling Radio.
Prepare to be sinful. Thursdays, 10:30 p.m. Eastern. On the Wild Talk Radio Network.
The NHL regular season has come to an end. The Calgary Flames are heading home. They suck. Which now means Wednesday nights are free to be geeked. Join myself, Omega, and that guy that we'll eventually put into the intro, Mace, every Wednesday night as we bring you Geek Talk done right, Wednesday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern. Right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
If you're looking for a place to hang out with fellow pro wrestling fans, then look no farther than the official forum of OnlineWorldOfWrestling.com, OWW Genesis. It's the gold standard in wrestling forums. OWW Genesis is the home of over 50, that's right, 50 unique forums that range from current day wrestling news and results in WWE, TNA, ROH, Pro Wrestling Guerrilla, tons of indie promotions, as well. There are forums for you to discuss everything from pro wrestling past, including WCCW, WCW, ECW, and the golden age of pro wrestling. You want more? Wow. Then check out OWW Undisputed. It's the official debate league. Or even check out OWW Takedown, which is the official e-fed of OWW Genesis. You still want more? Damn, you're a picky person. OWW Genesis is also the official forum for Chick Fight and Online World of Wrestling Radio. You want more? God, you are a super cool wrestling fan. Then just head over to the gold standard of wrestling forum, OWW Genesis, right now at OnlineWorldOfWrestling.com.
Hey everyone, this is the original voice of wrestling, Tim Stein. Catch me talking sense about the WWE, TNA, and the rest on the real voice of professional wrestling talk, Wrestle Talk Radio, Sunday night, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Legendary Rocket King, the King of Hearts, the amazing two-time Slammy Award winner. Owen Hart is our interactive question of the night here on Online World of Wrestling Radio. If you're watching NXT, like I'm not yet, I will be watching it soon, that apparently Lucille Ball's TV character, Lucy McGillicuddy's got a kid on the show tonight. That's right. Joe Henning is now called Joe McGillicuddy? Is that what they're calling him, Rockin'? What's his full name? Because I'm dying. Michael McGillicuddy. Okay. I want to thank the 20 people that created for coming up with that. 888-357-9876, option 1. Did I say that slow enough? I'm sorry. That's the New Yorker in me. I can't help it. Join us here on Online World of Wrestling Radio. Mace from WTR has stuck around for this segment. Before we get to the Owen Hart interaction, if you're a fan of Ring of Honor and you happen to live in Canada, like our boss Tim Stein does, and you happen to be in Winnipeg on July 9th and 10th, then ROH Booker Adam Pearce is the man you want to be there with because he is doing Ring of Honor tryouts. He's going to be working with the Canadian Wrestling Elite promotion. If you want more information, you need to write Danny, D-A-N-N-Y, at the CWE.ca. Now, we brought that up because the interactive chat tonight involved Owen Hart, and some Ring of Honor names came up involved here with setting up Owen Hart. One of them is former former FIP World Heavyweight Champion and current ROH star, Davey Richards, who many may basically say is the reincarnate of the Dynamite Kid. If you haven't seen Davey, fans, definitely YouTube search him. He's one of the best in the business right now. One of the others, Darby mentioned Chris Hero, the 2008 winner of the Jeff Peterson Memorial Cup, former IWA Mid-South champion. Also, Rey Mysterio? That's an interesting one. I'm not 100% sure if there's been a Jericho-Owen match. There may have been one during early in their career in Mexico. Dave Finley? That's another interesting one. Evan Bourne's another one. Naomichi Marufuji? That's a lot of names, Maze. If you want to plug yours in there, give me a couple if you got any off the top of your head, Maze.
Well, I basically spent part of this show writing up. I originally had a list of about 25 names that I was going to rattle off to you, but it seems I had to take off 5 of those names because people, obviously thinking along the same lines I have, have taken 5 of those people out. But some of the other guys that I've got here, just sort of no particular order, I think. William Regal?
That'll be interesting. I don't know if that ever happens.
That'd be a great technical match if it did, though. Christian? Because they both sort of have the same style, if you remember back in the day, sort of the semi-technical, high-flying aspects of both guys would have been really, really good to put on a, I'd say probably a mid-card pay-per-view match, if anything. Sort of mix it up. either Robert Roode or James Storm. Either one of Beer Money Inc. would be a good match to throw in there.
I think a funny tag match would be the late Davey Boy Smith and Owen Hart versus Beer Money with all the ha-ha going on with those guys.
Well, actually, I've got one specifically set up for the ha-ha, and this will be a three-way match between Owen Hart, Delirious, and Colt Cabana.
Oh, God. I forgot about
Cabana. There you are, the ha-ha, that would work.
Yeah, someone had mentioned the idea of if you wanted to do ha-ha, him and Santino Marella, and I think those styles would clash if there's only so much ha-ha you can do. I think Spug had mentioned the idea of Delirious and Owen, because if fans don't remember it, he was one of the biggest rivers in wrestling history. You name the person, they got ribbed. Another person in the board wanted Owen Hart versus Mr. Fuji in his prime. Is that going to be as an actual wrestling match or river? Because that's another guy who, if you find Jim Cornette's feud interviews online, he talks about that if Fuji and Owen had ever gotten together on a practical joke, what would happen? And he said, I think the world would probably stand still and bow in their greatness.
The world would implode like Dividing by Zero.
No, probably. And some of the names that have been brought up, obviously, American Dragon, Brian Danielson, on this show, that's what he's going to be called. I know I'm supposed to follow the McMahon Bible and call him Daniel Bryan, but sorry, that's American Dragon on your roster. Just let him loose. I know the copyright laws and this and that and the other thing are involved. That would be a good one. Some people mentioned Nigel McGuinness or Desmond Wolfe as a possibility, and that would fall into the William Regal, Steven Regal pattern of you would just have the technical matchup of, if you want to learn wrestling, kids, don't go to any seminars. I want you to put this DVD in and let it loose. Another one in the room wanted to mention, I think Owen and Rick Martel may have actually squared off at some point or another. And obviously Owen Hart and Bob Backlund kind of crossed paths in WWE back in the day. Darby seems to be our only person left in our chat room. Everybody else has kind of gone to bed there. Oh, my. All right. Alex Riley, the FCW heavyweight champ, is on TV finally. He's going to have the Miz as his pro, I guess. Is that going to be like a running theme here? We're going to beat the Miz up every week? Can you join us here on... Yeah, I loved watching that match last night. Like I said earlier on the show, I was hoping cattle mutilation would be brought up, but it could be one of those things like Punk doesn't pull out the Pepsi plunge in WWE. I bet you the WWE guys saw that on tape and like, yeah, that finisher, not going to happen because you're going to kill some of our guys legit there. There's been some great interaction in the chat room, and we're real appreciative of it. You can always interact with us here, and I know the previous regime likes to poke fun at us for going, you're taking credit for what we produced and this and that. Well, I'm not doing any of your segments, guys, because nobody seems to care about your segments, but, yeah, I went off track there. I apologize. Ring of Honor's got a big show coming up. If you're a fan of it, June 19th, Death Before Dishonor 8 is an iPay-per-view. Now, as someone that's in the business, have you had any kind of dealings with promotions that run these iPay-per-views? And what do you think of the concept that they... I mean, the Big Bang out of Charlotte apparently did pretty decent for them. What do you think? Is this iPay-per-view thing like the next wave of stuff that we may start seeing other promotions like Pro Wrestling Guerrilla and international promotions start doing this kind of thing?
Personally, I've never actually had any interaction with the whole iPay-per-view thing. Hell, I don't even know what it is, really. I'm guessing it's the internet-run pay-per-views. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's basically what it is. It's you go to a specific site, pay whatever amount, and you can watch their pay-per-view online for it. And TNA does their pre and post shows on there. Apparently Cornette is pretty big on the idea. Oh, it's on GoFightLive.tv, and Ring of Honor charges $14.95. That's not bad, considering I think WWE is
kind of like, WWE pay-per-views are kind of like tickets to Disney World. Every time you turn around, it's like, yeah, it was $50. Wait a minute, I got to pay $65 to go in the park now? Wait, $75 for one park? And that's not including $11 for parking? And if
well,
you're...
Hey, it's a company embracing today's technology. You know, I remember the WWE experimented with this very early on and had it fail on them only because their servers couldn't keep up. But hey, if, you know, Ring of Honor and any independent companies want to jump on board, use the internet to gain attention, gain, you know, notoriety by saying, okay, we're embracing this new technology, then by all means, go for it, you know. If you're not going to evolve with the times, then you might as well go and put yourself in a museum with the dinosaurs.
It works. Speaking of a company that gets out there and busts their butt every show, Pro Wrestling Guerrilla, which has the greatest names for shows ever. If you ever want to go to ProWrestlingGuerrilla.com and look at the past names of shows, they're doing a show on June 11th. We were trying to get Joey Ryan to come on and talk about the show, but we weren't able to get in touch with him. That is a tribute, a pre-show tribute, and I think the show is basically a tribute to the late Ronnie James Dio. That's going to be at the American Legion in Reseda, California. If you've never gotten a Pro Wrestling Guerrilla DVD, you got to grab one of them at any of the, you can go on their site, you can go everywhere. One of the main events on that show is the Pro Wrestling Guerrilla World Tag Team Champions, Paul London and El Generico, taking on, wow, Brian Kendrick and Kevin Steen. You've also got Chris Hero on that show, Joey Ryan, the Young Bucks, yes, that's Generation Me and TNA. You've also got the Cutler Brothers, Los Luchas on there, Scott Lost. And also this coming Friday, SAW Wrestling out of Millersville, Tennessee, found out that Pat Frank of Jersey All-Pro watches their show on a cable system somewhere. The headliner, Chris Michaels, will be on that show against Eric Hannon. The Real Deal, Derek O'Neill versus Teen Excitement, Drew Haskins. You can go to SAW. www.wrestling.webs.com. Our friend in the chat room keeps listing some interesting names, some old school names actually there. Owen Hart versus an 80s name, couple 80s names you mentioned, Tyree Pride and Kevin Von Erich. That's actually one, if we were, I guess we can include some of the older talent in there. That would have been an interesting matchup with Kevin and Owen. Any of the Von Erichs you could have plugged in there, because you could have gone for months. You could have had every Von Erich and every Hart. One name that got mentioned, my friend Lakeisha Oliver brought this one up, Mace, and I don't know if it would be interesting or not. She wanted to see a multi-generation Hart situation of Owen Hart taking on... Probably, I guess a good nickname for him would be Independent Space Cadet Teddy Hart.
Ooh, that would actually be an interesting one. See, I'd say, seeing as we're going multi-generational and seeing as we're seemingly bending the laws of space and time, even bringing people back from the dead to wrestle Owen Hart, including Owen himself,
yeah.
Hell, let's bend the laws of space and time even further. Let's have Stu versus Owen versus Teddy.
Oh, God.
All three generations.
That way you can show him some discipline. I'm sorry, I do a horrible...
Dungeon training all over again.
I do a horrible Stu Hart. I think Tim Stein does one of the best Stu Harts out there. Also in the chat room, WrestleFreak848 mentions the current TNA World Heavyweight Champion, Rob Van Dam versus Owen Hart. That would actually be an interesting matchup there, because Owen, being considered the guy who was scared of heights, as we found out from his wife's biography on him and other things, the guy could go in the ring and mat wrestle and then could hit the high flying. I'm always surprised when some of these names that, you know, even back then, they never interacted in any way, shape, or form, because Owen did wrestle overseas, and I was very surprised when you brought up William Regal. They never touched anywhere, because Owen was in Germany for a while, was in Mexico for a while, Japan, he's everywhere. And yeah, I'm sure everybody is you know, done an Owen Hart type thing. But I'm sorry, my damn show. Owen Hart's one of the best wrestlers, past, present, and future, deserves to be in a WWE Hall of Fame. I would have really would have dug to have seen him gotten a WWE championship run at some point. It always felt like it. And, you know, to go back in the day, you want to buy the WWE's greatest cage match pay-per-view in English, yes, I speak it very well. One of the best cage matches in existence that did not have any kind of blood was SummerSlam 94, Bret versus Owen. They told a story in a cage that just blew people's minds off. Okay, now we're just getting really interesting. How about this one, Mace? Owen Hart versus the Macho Man Randy Savage. Now, are we going with Intercontinental Champion Macho Man Randy Savage or NWO Randy Savage is the question?
Either way, you're getting the exact same guy, you know, as it's been pointed out in Hulk Hogan's book, Eric Bischoff's book, The Fall of WCW. Macho Man was this guy who'd always plan his matches out step by step by step by step, and you had to do it in the exact order, the exact same way. As much as that match would sound awesome, I don't think Owen could do it. Owen would crack. He'd go insane trying to stick to a point-by-point plot line of a match. As we've already mentioned, Owen was a guy who loved the rib, who loved to change things up, who loved to have a laugh. Him and Macho just wouldn't work in the ring personally.
Would you have liked to have seen Owen Hart versus Ricky the Dragon Steamboat?
Ooh, yes.
Since we're doing the whole space-time continuum with the 1.21 gigawatts.
Yes, we'll get in the time machine, go to 88 miles an hour, and put that match on for sure.
I would totally be interested in that. In our remaining moments here, we're going to mention some of the real neat shows that are out there on the Wild Talk Radio Network. You're involved in a couple. Pub yourself, my friend.
Yes, well, first off, we've got Sunday nights at 10 p.m. Eastern or straight after any WWE or TNA pay-per-view, Wrestle Talk Radio with myself, the Spud Guy, Omega, Will, Tim Stein, and even Mr. Wonton Soupy on pay-per-view night.
Or when Tim has nobody to come in, it's like, dude, we need you to come on for quick hits. And I'm like, no, I don't want to come on for quick hits.
Come on, Alan, you know you love those questions, but also on Wednesday night. Yes, Wednesday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern, it is myself, the Spud Guy, and Omega back again for Otaku Talk Live, where we speak everything geek, so to speak. And let's see, I've got a small column that I like to put up on the Wild Talk Radio Network website, conveniently located at wildtalkradio.com, known as From the Mind of Mace. This week, I will probably take a look at the new TNA cards that I've just got to sort of give a brief overview of them and include scans of what they look like for those of you who are maybe interested in spending money on TNA merchandise. And yeah, that's pretty much my end of the plugs done. We do have a lot more shows on the Wild Talk Radio Network, including CB Radio at midnight-ish with our lovely producer Sir Rockin and whoever the hell he can get a hold of this week. Got Anything Goes with Cindy Sin on Thursday night at approximately 10:30, 11:30 midnight, whenever she decides to get home. And let's see, what else have we got? Oh, we got this little radio show known as OWW Radio. It's on with some guy at some time, but you know, we don't really need to plug him that much.
Yeah, we don't need to plug him. We want to plug the godfather of extreme, Rob Parks, who's got the greatest radio voice ever. He hosts TV radio, as Mace mentioned, and he brought up another interesting match, the Man of a Thousand Holes, Dean Malenko versus Owen Hart. That would be another interesting matchup.
That would definitely be in there with the William Regal style of technical matches, just make you go, here's a wrestling clinic, guys, go watch and learn.
And if you ever wanted to compare factions with anybody, everybody always goes, it's the Horsemen. They're the best. NWO, they're the best. One of my favorite factions was the Hart Foundation reboot that had Jim the Anvil Neidhart, Bret Hart, the late Brian Pillman, the late Davey Boy Smith, and the late Owen Hart. That was probably, for its run, one of the best that you could ever find. And I wish they were all still around here. I mean, it's always sad to talk about someone who didn't have to die. And I'm going to get a little mushy here for a moment. The night I found out that Owen Hart passed away, I watched the tribute show that they did back in 99, and then pretty much for, you know, I think I tuned out on wrestling probably up until the night that I got a call from a friend and said, hey, WCW got bought. Cool. And ended up watching it there. So I really miss Owen Hart. We miss Owen Hart. And on behalf of Mace, Spug, Phil Strum, Kevin Scott, Sir Rockin', our producer, Tim Stein also involved, Brad Dykens, Jason Dedrich, you can visit us at onlineworldofwrestling.com. If you're on Facebook, search onlineworldofwrestling.com-OWW Radio. And I want to thank you all for joining us here. We'll try to do better next week. I'm Alan Wojcik, and you're not. Kicking it.